This is Barry List of Informs, and you're listening to Informs Today. The Informs Conference on Business Analytics is coming up at the end of March 2014, so we're giving our listeners a preview of the kind of insights you can get there. For example, this marketing workshop. Heineken is a popular beer in the U.S. and across the world, not only because of its qualities as a beverage, but also because of the marketing acumen used to bring it to the public. Today, we're talking with Mark Garrett of Information Insights. Mark, together with Steve Tramposh of Heineken, is presenting the workshop entitled Giving Marketing Mix a Voice, Integrating Data to Tell Stories About Brands. Mark, welcome. I thought that Heineken was a single brand, but there's more to the story, isn't there?
Well, Heineken is a portfolio of several brands. The one that we're going to talk about today is Tecate, which is drunk mostly by people of Mexican-American descent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's usually consumed pretty much near the border with Mexico is a dominant region in California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. But it's also got some other, you know, holds in other parts of the country. But it's an interesting brand in that it has a lot of emotional vibrancy and an interesting history. So,
do you want to tell us just briefly about that history?
Well, Tecate is often, a very price-sensitive brand. And is sold in large containers, but people who it's very popular inside Mexico, and people who cross over the border as immigrants tend to bring their beers with them. It's got a lot of resonance, and I think one of the interesting things that we're going to explore was how do we understand not just it doesn't have a huge advertising budget because it's not it's not the top of Heineken's line, but it does have a marketing message that it wants to send, and so we are trying to dig into it and find out what are the emotional drivers of the consumers, and then how do I reach them.
And just to take a step up, what kind of things do you routinely track when it comes to customers and sales and brand awareness? Because this kind of preceded what you realized that you needed to do when you revamped your marketing.
Well, this particular study is really a whole story about integration of many different data sources. So I think, everything we're looking at now shows that things operate in a full cycle. The consumer, the consumer owns the brand, and marketers learn about it and they try and tap into it. It's, so we collect, in this particular study, we've integrated the sales data, all the data on the marketing activities that Heineken is doing, and that can range from advertising to sampling programs, radio, online activity, but we've also collected a lot of advertising and usage. Well, what sometimes we refer to as the mindset metrics, like what is the mindset of the consumer when it comes to this brand? How are they aware of it? Do they use it? Would they recommend it? And then, some things we have called before the funnel. But
you do mention what the something called a consumption funnel. What is that?
A consumption funnel, well, it's actually changing a bit right now. Some people have started to call it the journey, the consumer journey. But the funnel is typically the idea, it's been around a long time, like 30, 40 years or more, that consumers first have to become aware of a brand. And then awareness is a prerequisite for trying the brand, and then trial is a prerequisite to repeating usage of the brand and developing regular usage, with the end goal being loyalty. Now, sometimes we feel like this is, it's called the funnel because you start off really wide with, like, everyone who's aware of it, and you narrow down to a group of consumers who drink it all the time. So different, you know, I think sometimes we also call it the consumer journey, though, because it's we think that the consumer has a lot of opportunity to interact with the brand. And now we see in the emergence of social media that there's a lot of ideas and conceptions and things about the brand that are shared from one consumer to another. So the idea of the funnel is really, you know, brings to mind the manufacturer having direct control over how they release and promote their brand. But we really find things are much more circular now, and there's a lot more feedback.
And journey, of course, has a certain resonance emotionally, whereas funnel isn't quite as expressive in terms of explaining what it is that you're looking at.
Well, yeah, look at the word. I mean, funnel sounds like something you put in a machine and, you know, feed stuff into a hopper. And journey, it sounds like, you know, you're going somewhere that, you know, the destination is not, you know, there is a lot more resonance to it, a lot more going on. And it really is that there is, modern consumers have a lot more points of what we call touch points and ways of interacting with brands that just didn't exist before. So that's what we're trying to capture inside this particular study.
And I gather the question that was troubling you was how all your different efforts were affecting sales.
Yes, well, that's always front and center because, there's obviously we're all aware of big data and the big data explosion. In the kinds of products that we work with in consumer goods, it's that big data is driven by a lot of variety of data. So there's all sorts of different metrics emerging. Like when people set up online programs, they create literally hundreds of metrics that they're watching. How do all these drive sales? And what happens to all the traditional ways of going to market, with all the efforts to build distribution, to advertise, and then all the trade practices, you know, in beer you don't have couponing so much, but, discounts and that sort of thing. So how does it all work together? That's the challenge here.
I just want to remind our listeners that I'm Barry List of Informs, and you're listening to a podcast on Heineken's use of marketing analytics. Today's guest is Mark Garrett of Information Insights. And we do live in the era of big data, and can you tell us a little bit about some of the data points, the metrics that you were looking at, and then maybe tell us a little bit about the modeling that you did that was unique?
Sure. When we think of big data is typically described as, it can either be driven by variety, velocity, or volume. And velocity is really something associated with really real-time systems that are constantly producing data. That's not exactly what a consumer products company has. Volume just means, you might have, just millions and millions of consumers making searches or something like that. But the third one is variety, and this is what we're dealing with. In the CPG, which stands for Consumer Packaged Goods World, you have many different players. You have manufacturers, distributors, retailers, and consumers. Each one of those people in that chain are collecting different types of data. The manufacturers collecting it on the consumer what they're shipping out. The distributor is collecting it on all his retail customers, etc. So when you have a, beer is a very fun category because it has a lot of touch points. There's people who drink it off-premise or people who buy it off-premise and lots of different ways they can drink it on-premise, from, lounges, bars, restaurants, hotels, stadiums, and then there's all kinds of places in the off-premise they can buy it.
So, and you're able to get data on all of those?
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing. It's
that's a challenge.
That's a big challenge. It's when you have a product that's moving through so many channels, it is very, it's difficult to get all the data. So, but there's most beer companies have a pretty big database because their distributor sells to all the different kinds of retailers. So you do have sales for every single retailer, and this is true for AB, InBev, it's true for MillerCoors, it's true for Heineken. So you have a good source of granular data. And then you have to pull together, you know, the things that traditionally go into marketing mix, which are all the syndicated data, some syndicated data sources from Nielsen, Monitor Plus media data, so that's Nielsen media tracking of GRPs. Then you have, but then in the beer world also you have sampling programs. You have like sponsorship of sports teams, stadiums, and those are usually tricky to measure. And in some states where it's legal, you have coupons, although it's pretty rare. So there's, but in addition to this, we also want to, those are what we call the marketing mix drivers. Those are things the marketers do that they expect to drive sales and build the brand, essentially. Then you, we also want to collect all the brand health metrics. And the brand health metrics, or the mindset metrics, they tell us how the consumer is thinking and feeling about the brand. So
you want to know not only the actual sales, but you want to know something about the people and how they feel about your product.
Yes, and in fact, I want to know the whole process. I want to know, too often it's kind of the one, you know, one of the criticisms you get from brand managers about marketing mixes is a bit of a leap of faith going all the way from what we do to the sales we get, without trying to understand what the intermediate points are. And especially true if you imagine new online media where it doesn't even obey that kind of law. So what we're trying to do in this study is we're trying to say, okay, if you advertise, then the first thing we're going to see is you become aware of the advertising. We're going to see it reflected in people's mindset metrics. If you advertise that you're, say, cosmopolitan, then we want to see the word cosmopolitan show up in some of our tracking measures. Then in this bit, what's unique about this method is then now we are looking, once people are aware of the brand, now we say, does that awareness or awareness of something specific like a brand being cosmopolitan, does that then translate into usage and does that then translate into sales? So we're following almost like a circle. We're following it all the way around, you know.
And I understand you use the behavior model. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the model is my company, Information Insights, specializes in Bayesian methods, and the method is called a Bayesian VAR model. VAR models are not new. They've been around for since at least the 70s and 80s. They fall into a general class of what we call multivariate time series. But what's new about this is the VAR models typically have been used by experts to measure just a few things in the macro economy. You know, it's a typical usage. The Bayesian method allows us to look at many, many more measures. And this became really important in two different ways. You know, I've just described to you all the different touch points and ways in which the manufacturer and distributor and retailer can act on the consumer and the way the consumer feeds back. But there's another level that we have to get to, too, which is this whole system is like in beer has many, many different classes of trade where people can consume many different DMAs. Each state has its own laws, you know, and each state has its own beer culture to some extent. And then we have all the different packages. You know, you think of how many beer packages you can think of, and there's just lots of them. So what we have here is a really big data problem in that we've got a lot of things we're using to influence the consumer and a lot of potential ways in which we might read the impact of that. How do we put that all together? That's really what it's about.
And we only have time for one or two more questions, but do you want to talk about how you resolved to deal with the sticky problem?
Well, I think people who want to see how we resolve the sticky problem probably need to come to the presentation because
then we'll leave it at that.
We will be showing the math and some of the trials and tribulations that are involved in this. This is it's not like turning on a switch. There's a lot of discovery. I think one of the really interesting things was the way Steve and Joanne McDonough, who was really engaged every day on this project for many months, was a great person to work with. The way you actually have to get engaged inside some of the gears inside the modeling world. So there's, just to give you an idea, we have of the size, you know, we might have in the mindset metrics, the brand health metrics, there are over 200 of those. How do we narrow down that 200 to the small set that are actually, you know, driving sales or have some important impact? And so that process is one where it was actually very educational. You know, so sometimes you've got the output of the models, which a lot of people, you know, might think, oh, it's a model, it's a black box. But I think in this case, this model really invited some participation midway. And that helped actually build up everyone's comfort and understanding of it.
Do you feel there are lessons for other marketers here?
Well, I can just say that Heineken earns, in my mind, many stars for this because they first of all dedicated a team to it and a team that really got pretty deeply into it. They also like assembled a lot of data, and this just doesn't happen. Like a lot of times, people want the global solution, but they don't want to spend the time actually building the integrated data. But the best thing they did overall was to convert this mathematical stuff. We worked with them to develop the stories around Tecate and why Tecate works and why, for instance, we find that Tecate on first reflection seems to project masculinity and toughness. But we actually found that if you dig down into the layers of it, what the positive benefits that you actually want to push are optimism and confidence, and those lend themselves to a masculine portrayal. So instead of veering over to the over macho, you can actually build a kind of a manly beer that's built on better fundamentals. So that's the kind of a story that people got, and so Heineken was really good at telling stories with the data and moving that through every single one of their brand teams. And then in the end of the day, they made many significant decisions and revenue decisions on what to do with the data. So from my experience working with many clients, they did a lot of things right.
That's all the time we have today. We've been talking with Mark Garrett of Information Insights. Mark, thank you for joining us.
Welcome. A pleasure.
And thank you for listening to Informs Today, a podcast by the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. For more information about analytics, operations research, and the series of podcasts, visit us on the web at www.informs.org. Good day, and remember, keep on crunching those numbers.